take my thing, but I think you are bright and happy, and I love beautiful, bright, happy, spirited people. So before I get started, let's do a shout out to our sponsor, Kevin Pike, Coral Banker, 818-571-1508, to take care of all of your real estate needs, and he pampers and loves all at the same time. I just adore him. Also, shout out to CNC, Chris and Cliff at Amoeba Records. Amoeba is still holding down the culture. You can find anything in there. Buy, sell. Good for that. And then finally, a shout out to one of my favorite Renaissance hip hop groups, T.H.R.N.E. And their new project, Royal Jelly. One of my favorites is track five. It's called Is My Life a Movie? Is it? You can join their musical journey on Bandcamp. They are wonderful. They are a husband and wife team. They are beautiful. Just their music is like heavenly. A little bit of everything in hip hop. That's why it's called Renaissance. And during these difficult times, I know that Royal Jelly transforms the worker bees into a queen. So we need that difficult right now during difficult times. We need some of that resilience and transformation. So now, drum roll. Da, 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 I have in studio, on panel, four of the most beautiful women you've ever seen. I don't know if they know they're beautiful, but I certainly do. And I think that you'll find them as beautiful. Today, we're going to talk to them about, in memory of the political activist. She is a art activist or artivist, humanitarian, and poet, the incomparable June Jordan. I don't know if you ever heard of her, but you need to if you have not. June is alive and well through these four women, and her play is called Project Poetry for the People, the June Jordan Experience. So let me bring onto the set these four women: America Karavuvias, Janet Song, Savannah Shoemaker-Shoenaker, and Nassim Etmad. Is it Etmad or Etmad?
Etimad, you nailed it.
Etmad? Yeah, I love it.
Etimad.
So I cannot hear you, Nassim.
Oh,
I can't
how
hear
about
you.
now? Can you hear me now?
America,
Oh, that's
can you
strange.
hear me?
I can hear you. Can you
Can't
hear
hear
me?
any of you.
Oh, really? We can hear you.
Yeah.
Nope, I cannot hear anything.
We can hear you. We're gonna get there.
Can you hear me?
We can hear
Yeah,
you.
we can.
Oh, our show now. We've taken over.
Woo, Lord, I tell you. Anyway, hey, welcome to our show. And I'm gonna kick it right off. I know that the play Poetry for the People, the June Jordan Experience, is started running at the Fountain Theater. I think they are at 5300 Fountain here in Los Angeles. The play started on January 7th. It is running through March 8th, according to your press release. And we're going to get right into it. So, first of all, I want to ask whoever wants to answer first, how do you feel about expressing June Jordan's vision, her living experience through the play, that you're addressing the people and a whole audience, not just one person, but how do you relate that to the people, her experience, to an audience that they can feel that they're a part of the experience as well? Who wants to take first stab? Janet, you're smiling. You want
I'll jump in a little bit. Maybe there was a slight typo in the press release, but we started previews on the 27th, and we have our opening night tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very we're very excited. We're still having our final preview tonight. It's been a wonderful experience getting to get more familiar with June Jordan's work. And June, as a poet and an activist, has been so inspiring. And to be guided through this experience by our director, Raymond O. Caldwell, and his collaborator, as well as June's former collaborator, Adrian Clark. Yes, they've been guiding us through this process, and we've learned so much from them and from June's words. It's been a really eye-opening experience for me, and I've been loving every minute of it.
Okay, so I know Adrian Torf was June's longtime life partner, her longtime collaborator, and she is the pianist and the composer for this play. She co-wrote the stage production, I'm told,
yes,
as directed by Raymond Caldwell. So I'd like to hear a little bit more about how were you able to engage with her and, you know, really speak about June Jordan as full, you know, like her poetry goes from heavy political artivist to romantic to rage. So how do you express that individually in a group to the audience when you're performing? Any of you?
Wow.
America?
Well, yes. I was just thinking, there's this beautiful example that came in when we were in rehearsals. And I think that just June's poetry is so universal in a way that she can bring this big issue that we're all facing into just a personal experience. Mm-hmm. And I think that for us, we're telling her fantastic story, but also connecting with the audience. And we've seen that in this past previews and hopefully tonight as well, that throughout the show, there's going to be some dynamics with the public as well, that not only we're connecting with them through her story, to her poetry, through music, as well as them becoming part of the story. So this is poetry for the people, right? It is just this collaboration that is happening not only between the six of us, but also with the whole audience that's sitting right in front of us. It feels just like a room full of people who just wants to release and create and be heard, if that makes sense.
And in you saying that, I want to mention the murders of Alex Pretty and Renee Good. I think that June would be one of the people that would be saying something about these kind of things, especially given the fact that only women can bear children. So when we murder and kill people, we don't have the power to bring their lives back. And I would like to say, for those of you out there, this is an interruption to a collective, to a human collective. June Jordan, her poetry is very entrenched in social justices, especially the fact that she was a part of the LGBTQIA+ community. So these kind of things would be something that her poetry and her body of work would speak to. Would you agree, Nasim?
I would absolutely agree. I think her poetry, and then just outside of her poetic career, everything else she's done, she had done such a wide breadth of work. She was always finding other people within the LGBTQIA community and other activists to champion their movements as well. She lived a very intersectional life. So I think her work definitely speaks to everything you just said. And she was always of that mindset of bringing in other communities, because she recognized that those struggles were always connected.
And I always feel like, you know, it seems far removed unless it was one of us or one of our family members that got hurt. So I want everyone out there, put yourselves in those families and those people's places. Think of it had been you, just innocently out somewhere trying to fight for something good, something right, and justice. And then all of a sudden your life is taken. So in lieu of what I just said, as women in the arts and those who support us now, how does it feel being able to portray, take your individual selves out of the poetry and make it for every aspect of the human community? Savannah, I'm gonna let you take that one.
Okay. That's a big question.
Take your time.
yeah. For me, the poetry feels so universal that it's not hard to connect to, if that makes sense. Because really, I don't necessarily know if I have to pull myself out of it in order to connect with it and communicate it because it feels universal and personal at the same time. I think that was June's power. She very much always talked about how we are very interconnected with the rest of the world. And to think that we aren't is kind of us, you know, putting our heads in the sand. But to realize, like you said, Nassim, the intersectionality of life, and how, you know, all of the things that she talks about, like she even says that, you know, I don't want to just write poetry about myself because I'm so much more interconnected with the world than that. The poetry that I write has to say something, it has to mean something more than just about it being about me. And I think that's why it's so easy to connect to as an artist and just as a human being in general. It doesn't take a lot. I think at least what I've witnessed of my beautiful co-stars and for what I've felt in myself is it hasn't felt difficult to understand it. Even for me as someone who is white, to hear her incredible poetry about being a Black woman in this country. Yes. And I even think back to what we were talking about with Alex Preddy and Renee Good, also Keith Porter in Northridge, Black man who was killed before those two in January. So it's just something. And I think it's important that we're hearing about Renee Good and Alex Preddy. It's also important to lift up all of the other people that have been killed by ICE so far this year. And then that goes, I think, into what June talks about, which is police brutality and how, you know, Black people and people in this country and minorities have had to deal with that since the inception of this country. And now we're seeing it on a grand scale where now it's not just Black people and other minorities, it's also white people.
Yes, and everyone.
It's everyone. And now there's that impetus for us to all fight. But I think it's something that for me, especially as a white person, I have to recognize that this fight has been going on for a long time.
Well, not only excluding your culture, I'll say as a woman, women in this country, whether you're gay or whatever is happening, have always had a difficult time with men standing at a certain position and controlling versus asking women, how can I support you? How as a man can we support this community that gives birth, that gives life? I don't know of a man that can give birth. So unless you can give birth or have kids, to me, you shouldn't be taking any kind of life from anyone, you know? And I love that you said that. Now, I know, Savannah, that you stand with communities that are traditionally and historically stepped on, trampled on. And like you said, there are other people that because their names may not be big enough or whatever, they didn't make the news. I didn't hear about the guy in the other, but I certainly heard about Renee Good because they made more of a big deal. I think the other guy was a news person, you know, so they really tried to, the other woman was a nurse or something like that, correct? She was working with health and anything that I believe that June Jordan would have stood up for at that time. So I'm going to go back to America. America, and by the way, if I've ignored someone's gender or whatever, it's because I don't know, okay? Because I respect everybody where they come from. I have a transgender daughter myself. So I'm a parent of a trans. I don't have any problems with anybody going outside of the box for any reason. I'm that open and that broad thinking. But I wanted to ask, America, now you have worked across different mediums. How does this project, if it does at all, change your interaction with the audience?
I love connecting. So I started as a singer. I love music. I love connecting. And I think music is just a fantastic way to connect with other people and allowing people to tell their stories. Even sometimes they're being silenced, sometimes they can't even speak for themselves, or some stories have been erased but just been talking about. And in previous experiences, I'd had the fortune of not even telling my story but telling other people's stories and connecting through music or just play, just theater. And this is completely different. I think this brings everything that allows for a person to connect in every kind of way. And if you are not a person who wants to speak out loud, you can write it. If you're not a person who wants, you can sing it. It's just, you can just feel it. And I think that's...
I can feel it.
Yes.
And I can feel like, it through you, through all of you.
Thank you. Thank you. And that's what we hope for every night. And I think it's just, it, right, it starts with connecting with the wonderful women that you have on screen and other folks who are also, we have other two fantastic castmates. And I just, to me, that's the difference. I think right now we're implementing all these other art forms that can just allow the audience and ourselves to be, to speak for ourselves and what we want to.
The way you want to. Now, in lieu of that, let me clear up, because I don't want to get anyone in trouble. I don't like women, especially women being pitted against each other. So I worked on your presentation today, the show, very late. So it might have been that it was in the press release, the 27th. But in my eye, I saw the 7th, and I saw March 8th. So I'm just telling you, that it may not be the PR. It might have been me. So I don't want to, you know, because she does a great job. I love your PR person. I've known her many, many, many years. Mm. We've worked together on many, many projects. So she is top notch in my world. So I just wanted to get that cleared up, okay? So now back. Janet, my darling. So what can you, I saw a bit of the trailer of the play. What can you say about your expression when you, I feel June Jordan, and I didn't even know that much about her, and I kind of am tearing up. I feel her work, and I'm an artist myself. That's my painting behind me. Oh, it's on wood. So I'm an artist myself. So when I hear about these kind of things, I do get a little emotional because it's difficult for me to imagine that the women that opened the doors for me, you know, and for us to have been mistreated and not recognized, and that she had to be deceased before getting any kind of recognition. And they still don't know who she is. The world still doesn't know. We're here in LA in a creative community, but unless it's like, oh, unless she's Teyana Taylor, or, you know, one of those kind of people that have a voice, no one speaks of this. And we all know that these ladies would not be standing were it not for the shoulders of people like June Jordan, Nina Simone, who was another political artivist, you know, all of these kind of women that came before us. So Janet, I want to ask you now, I know that the Fountain Theater is very intimate. How close do you get? And it says, the play says, Portrait for the People, the June Jordan Experience. How close do you feel to June Jordan when you're doing your thing and interacting with the rest of these people in the group, in that theater?
We get close. I mean, we take turns in the cast being June, saying her words. We take turns being Adrian, her partner. We take turns portraying other people in both of their lives. It's been such a... And then we get really close to our audience. I mean, yes. We are right there.
That's what I want to hear,
singing with them, you know, writing with them. So the way that, you know, the audience, we're going to be teaching the audience about June's life, I've been going through the same process myself.
Okay.
I didn't know that much about June coming into the project.
Yeah.
So to have this experience and to have her life shared with us through Raymond and Adrian, because they devised this piece. They're the ones that created this story based on her poems and what everybody else who knew her wrote about her. Her memorial apparently was just a who's who of everybody in social activism and art.
That's right.
People loved her, and everything they had to say about her all comes out in these pages, and the music, and you know, this experience that Raymond and Adrian created, and sharing also June's lessons of how to make poetry for the people. It was June's guidelines that inspired just her program, where she just teaches her two students to teach other people to write poetry and to pass it on and on and on. So, and that work continues to happen. So it may not be big names all over the place, but it's happening.
It's big.
It's happening. People are passing on her project, her experience.
And we're all connecting. We're all starting to connect each other. I know. I want to ask Savannah, how does it feel working with Adrienne Torf? I know she's a pianist and a composer, and Raymond Caldwell, but more her, because she was there with that woman. She was there, hugging, loving, listening, caring, moving forward. How does that feel to you working with Adrienne? Can you feel, do you become the June Jordan experience when you're working with Adrienne in the theater?
Well, oh my gosh. Well, let me just say that Adrienne Torf is very singular in her abilities as a pianist, as a composer. We did have trouble finding someone that could take her place if need be, because her ability to improv on the spot, like just her skill level as an artist, is phenomenal. And, you know, from the beginning, the fact that we got to sit there with her when we had our development week, when we were sitting down with the script, and this is a new script that we all got to participate in with Adrienne and with Raymond. And for me, I can't speak to my co-stars. I'm sure it was there for you ladies as well. But for me, there's a sensitivity for me when playing her, because I want to honor her, and I think we all want to honor her in June. And that's a thing. It's a thing of, I'm now playing you and you're sitting in front of me watching me playing you. there's a part of that for me. Yeah. It's like a little bit of mental gymnastics.
Yeah. Like, okay.
In my heart, my goal is to honor you as I play my interpretation of you, really. Whilst also bringing in the fact that it is a play, it is heightened for the audience. And there is direction coming from Raymond as well about how do we pull these characters, these humans, these people, one of them sitting right in front of you, how do we pull them apart even more to make this story more impactful for the audience? So I think for me, it's been a joy. It's been an honor. Working with Adrienne has been so wonderful and lovely. And that she taught us 10 songs in just like a couple days. It was incredible.
And you got
it was incredible. And we are so blessed. We get to work with her tomorrow for our next preview. We get to work with her live. So she's going to be there, and we're going to get to honor her as well by the end of the show. Mm-hmm. And she'll be live on the stage playing with us. So feel very, very blessed, very lucky. And the work that her and June, the collaboration that they did together, the songs that they wrote together, how do you express it? The choreo poems, just from the beginning, Adrienne said, you know, the second that I met June and heard her poems, I heard the music.
Wow.
She's like, I heard the music. It was there in every beat of her poetry. And it was so easy for her to hear it. And that's why their collaboration was so incredible over the years.
That's powerful. Nassim, baby. Hey.
Hey.
So how do you, what happens to you when you become the June Jordan? Don't forget, it says a June Jordan experience. So all of you have to become June Jordan and Adrienne Torf and leave yourself. You have to leave yourself behind. How has it been for you working with Adrienne, knowing that this woman actually knew June Jordan? You know, it's not like us, when I'm a stranger, I'm hearing about her. This woman knew her. So what kind of transformation happens to you when you interact with Janet, Savannah, America? What happens?
Well, I'll speak to the one part of that specifically, having Adrienne around us. I feel really lucky, and I don't know if I'll ever have that experience again, to have someone who had such intimate personal knowledge and experiences with June. I feel like it has really fed into my understanding of her and her relationship with the people she loved. But in terms of embodying June, I get filled with such a sense of power and joy whenever I step into her shoes and speak her words, whether it's in the poetry or a scene of a past experience. Even though she's fighting so much throughout the play, it doesn't feel like I'm overcome with any sort of sadness or anger. When it's so easy to feel that way when you hear the subjects that are explored in the experience. But I get a sense of healing and empowerment. That's what I'm hoping to give to the audience when they're listening to the words as well, because I think it's something that we all really need right now. And I especially really needed it during our rehearsal period and still as we go forward. So it's been very helpful to me having her words in my head.
Yeah, I read her, so I'm like, whoa. She reminds me of Angela Davis and all those, you know, those women that were powerful and they had something to say. Remember, they wanted to put him in jail and all of that. So poor baby. I mean, being of that LGBTQIA plus community and then being an artist and all of that, you know, that's just a lot piled up. So I'm back to Miss America. America, your name is America.
Yes.
Wow, how does it feel having a name like America, living in a country like America, and then having to talk about a subject and subject matters that may be considered un-American, depending on who's listening and who's talking? Because don't forget, the LGBTQIA community still has a lot of barriers to go through. So, same with women, same with Black women, same with women of color, that's Asian women, any woman of culture or whatever. How does it feel going in there with that name? Do you feel more pressed to be more present as the June Jordan experience?
I want to say pressure too. I think that, you know, especially this times, but I learned a few years ago that having this name in this country, because I was raised in Mexico. It's pretty common.
Oh, Mexico. Let's see, that in Mexico?
No, Tijuana, actually. So Baja California.
Tijuana.
Yeah,
oh,
so it's near.
Mm-hmm.
So coming here and having all this different approaches to my name, and I have people that get so excited and then they realize that I'm Mexican and they're like, wait. So, right, it is interesting to be, have this name in a country they may don't, some of them don't want me here, and some, and I do art, and I am a person of color, and I have, right, all these categories, and I think that bringing that to what we're talking about is just makes me relate more to what June wrote about, and what she's saying about, and talking about Adrian, what they both created. Mm-hmm. So then every night I'd have this, and right, this urge every day of like trying to let things out. And I think that artists also resistance. So going into the theater and being able to embody June and just feel it and share that with, I think that's how blessed I can say I am for that.
I like that you that all of you are fairly young. And I love that you have garnered the strength and the courage to present this production. I love that Janet is involved. I love that all of you are different. I like difference. I find pleasure in difference. We're all the same in that we embody, you know, the same bodies. But the difference is how we project what we believe in and how we are perceived by the people that we are presenting to. So I'm back to Miss Janet Song. Your last name is Song. So do you sing in the play?
We all sing. Yeah, song has nothing to do with whether or not I can. I just happen to be lucky enough to be able to sing some with, especially with a beautiful ensemble like that.
Janet has a beautiful voice. You have a beautiful voice.
I can tell the way she talks. That's why I said your last name is Song. So can you sing? You know, she's singing a song.
She is conducting us quite a bit.
Oh, that's true.
Yes.
Now, I want to ask Janet, how is it for you when you all are finished with your production for the day and you got to come back the next day and you got to like, you know, bring it out. Let Miss June Jordan speak. Girl, I hear you. I feel you and I hear you. Let her speak. And then do you have to shut her down when you leave the production, or is she always going inside of you, or what's happening?
I think during our current political climate, it's kind of hard to shut it off because her words throughout my life. If anything, it's what kind of, because we're still honing it, we're still finding, finishing those final details before we open tomorrow. And I want to honor her mission so much because she's inspired me to become more of an activist. As a matter of fact, The Fountain, very much to their credit, knowing what's going on in this world, recently, just within the past couple of days, launched a new initiative for ticketing. So to make sure that it's her work and her experience is accessible to everybody, they've changed their ticketing model. And every ticket is now name your own price. They don't want cost to be a factor at all in people coming to see this. They put out a statement on their Instagram basically saying, I'm going to quote this, "We know that now is not the moment where our community can spare money on a theater ticket. Know that you are using every spare dollar to support the causes that need us right now. And we know that now more than ever, we need each other." And so because of that, they have implemented this new ticketing model because they want to put their money where their mouth is. We're presenting this work about activism and about being inclusive and outreach. And here it is. They're trying to make it as available as possible.
See, that's why there's still the Fountain Theater and they're still around too. Yeah. I believe one of the statements that June said was that love is a political act. Savannah, can you explain to me a little bit about why she would have said that now, knowing more about her and her work?
Gosh, I feel like we actually heard this from one of our audience members on our first preview.
Really?
And I would love to have you all chime in as well if you have anything to add to this, but that love is a verb. It's an action. And to love means you have to go out and do something about it. June says that and this is, I'm not going to be able to remember the quote exactly. If you remember it, Janet, you can throw it in there. But it's not that we want to be fighting to fight. We're fighting to get to a place where tenderness is possible. Because June was and is, people still, Raymond says it all the time. Adrian says it all the time. People still talk to June because for people who knew her personally, she's still here. She hasn't gone anywhere. Her impact in their life is daily. People still talk to her because the love, the act of love that she gave to others, the act of her life itself was love. And that leads to action. So
that's deep.
That would be my answer, but I'd love to hear from anyone else who wants to add to that.
That's deep. America, come on, America.
Yes, I think I'm trying to remember the poem that
that came
we
out
heard from the previews, but I completely agree. I think that having love as the root of it all just makes us human, but also I think that it just makes us think. And I say that because I remember in the first week when we're reading the script and we're trying to get all of that, I was filled with rage. There was a lot of things going on. And how can you not, right? And then there's a beautiful quote, and I think you say it in the Janet, but it then June says, like, I forgot that I don't want to resemble my enemies. And if you remember, Janet, you can say it, but
Janet,
the quote goes, basically, as opposed to feeling all this hatred, she wants to remember that she doesn't want to resemble her enemies and not to dwarf her world, not to dwarf my world, not to lose my willingness and ability to love. And that's what she keeps going back to. It's her love of love, her love of, and that's what her students remember. It's her, it's her love of words, her love of love. itself, and that being the action that moves her forward. So
wow. Now, are there just four of you? You're the four major. How many people are doing the play, other than Adrian
there's
and
six,
the director?
There's
There's six of us.
Okay, so where are the other two people and what are their names? I don't recall reading that much. Are they involved in the play? Are you the main characters in the setting?
All six of us are shared. We're an ensemble. Yes, we're an ensemble. We share everything very equally in the show. And Keita Grayson and Mackenzie Mondag are the two other actors in the show. And I really hope I did not mispronounce Mackenzie's last name.
It's okay. I'm sure they'll forgive you.
Shout out to them.
Shout out to them because they're incredible. Love you. We love you.
And Nassim, little baby. She's got her speakers over her head. I think that's so cute. But anyway, when you are doing your piece, wait a minute, before I forget. Are each one of you doing a segment of her work? Are you blending all your voices together to present one portion of the work? Or is it a running, like, okay, you do a piece and I do a piece, they do a piece, and then we do it together. How is that working, Nassim?
Well, Raymond was very interested in all of our input from the beginning. So we spent about a week doing a lot of table work, reading as different tracks within the ensemble to see what resonated with us as we read. And we got to share. I really felt a lot of my own truth in this moment and this poem, things like that. And he took all that feedback and then also tried to make sure we shared the space, the stage, the poems and the songs together as much as possible. Mm-hmm. So it felt extremely collaborative. And I feel like he did a fantastic job of giving us all an equal amount of time to support one another and have our own moments as well. But for the most part, it's very much a retrospective on her life. So we go through moments with her students. We go through her upbringing with her father and her mother, her own chosen family, her love, her relationship with Adrian, and after her passing, how her peers remember her. So we really track through her career and her life and her personal journey. And we share each moment of that, kind of swapping in and out.
Wow. You guys are on top of it. I love you. She used the word whilst. I haven't heard anyone use that word in a long time. It's very, you know, you're English. You said whilst. I was like, wow. Not only is she a poet and expressing it, she knows her English. So America, first of all, I want to say that I grew up in Texas and Mexicans taught me how to speak Spanish. So you are near and dear to my heart. I want you to know. That's why I started speaking Spanish. Like, wait a minute. Just, you know, but that is near and dear. And we need you here. So never feel like you're not wanted because that's just not true. I wanted to ask you, with your background of being from Mexico and from Tijuana, how has this experience of working with these other women changed you? I'm sure you'll never be the same after all of this.
No, I was actually thinking that today, this morning. I think for me, not only they are fantastic. I think this ensemble truly feels like, sometimes it just feels like we're one, and that's spooky in the best way possible. Yes. But I think that to me, it's just, it's teaching me how to speak up, if that makes sense.
Oh, yes.
I don't want to dwarf my world, just like she said. And just remember that there is love out there, and that in order for my, you know, my brothers and sisters out there who can't speak right now, I can.
Yes.
So I'm going to go to the theater every night. And even though I'm scared and even though I'm full of rage, I can just let it out through that. So I think that's teaching me every day, and I'm learning every day. It's been wow. But I'm just really thankful for all of the creative team, the technical team, and this lady that you see there, and the two of their other castmates. It's wonderful.
Yeah, we're all still learning. My mother used to say, when you get, you think you know everything until you get 30, when you're in the 20s, then when you get 30, you think you know everything until you get 40. And then when you get 40, you think you know everything until you get 50. And it's just go, I'm like, it never ends, does it? Mm-hmm. Not really. So we're always constantly learning. And that's the beauty of life, is that we can always constantly learn and always become transformative in our learning. So I'm back to Miss Janet's song. So Janet, what is one of the favorite Do you have a favorite of her work?
Oh, wow. Because we've gotten so much of her work, I've been exposed to so much of it in such a short amount of time.
Uh-huh.
It's hard to pick a favorite. I certainly have favorite moments musically that I keep hearing again and again in my head when I'm away from the theater. There's certain things about June's life that I also identify with, just in terms of, I appreciate that you said earlier that we're all so young, but I'm north of 50.
Trust me, you're a baby compared to me.
But I'm also a cancer survivor.
And
June passed away from cancer. And so when we started reading, just before we put anything on our feet, we're just reading the script and we got to certain lines and it would bring a tear. Or a certain passage of a song would, you know, and what I love so far about this, what I'm doing with the rehearsals and everything, is that if I just let myself not panic about what's my next line, where am I supposed to stand next? If I let go of that and just kind of let myself kind of hear the words, be with the music, be with the cast, those emotions still hit. And that's why we do theater. That's why we do this, because we live for those experiences on stage.
Yes. Now, did any of you know each other before you became an ensemble? No. Were you chosen arbitrarily, like based on your work? Because I know all of you are artists and all of you are in the artistic community and you have an artist voice. So, Savannah. Every time I say your name, I think of Savannah, Georgia. I'm sorry. But anyway.
That is where my mom got my name.
Oh, you kidding?
No, you're not wrong.
I was like, I think of Savannah, Georgia, every time I say Savannah.
Yeah.
So anyway, when you met these ladies, did you automatically feel the kinship? Did you go into it saying, I don't know them, I've got to get to know them? Or did you just went into like, this is a project and I know them because we have the similar spirit and we believe in the same thing and we all honor June Jordan?
Well, I'll back up just a little bit, because when I auditioned, actually the first thing I said to Raymond when I came in, because I'm pretty sure it was similar for all of us, but we got these callbacks and I was like, I haven't been to this audition before, and walked into the theater really having no idea what was going to happen. Raymond essentially for the audition had us work with a group of women and see what it would be like to give us exercises where we had to ultimately collaborate and create movement pieces and performances on the stage within the audition itself. And I know I only had 6 people with me, but I think Mackenzie said she had like 25. It was something, it was very, very different audition experiences for each of us. But when I went in, because I realized, you know, this was about a Black LGBTQIA artist, an activist, and poet, I asked Raymond, I said, Raymond, as a white person, I just want to understand why I'm here. And what do you need from me? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I really asked that question.
Really? And
yeah. Well, because for me, I was like, I, you know, always want to be respectful. And, you know, I didn't know what his goal as a director was when I first walked in. Like, where do I fit in to this piece, essentially? Because I'm reading this Black woman's poetry. So anyway, he reassured me. He said, everyone's going to play June because her work is so universal and we need everyone to partake in it. And then when he cast me, he said, you know, I cast you because you are the white person that we need. You are the right white person that we actually need.
We do need them. We need you.
I was like, thank you for the vote of confidence. And as it comes to these incredible women, including Keita and Mackenzie, every single person was welcoming right off the bat. I mean, there was no sense at all that I was out of place. If any of that came up, that was from my own stuff. But every single person here, Janet, America, Nassim, Keita, Mackenzie, and Raymond and Adrian, everyone made me feel like I belong And the work that we're doing is the work we must do together. That's why all of us are so different and come from so many different backgrounds, because we are so interconnected. So thank you to all these incredible women here that I get to do this with. Because like you said, Ametika, sometimes it feels like we're just one in the spookiest way, but everyone is so loving and supportive. And I know that no matter what happens on the stage, because when we get on that stage, y'all, we're there for the entire time. We do not walk off that stage ever until the show is done. So we need each other in real time.
How long do you have to be immersed with one another? I don't know. I feel that it's a movement that you have to hug at some points. Maybe you have to move around in a circle of motion. I can feel, I'm serious. You know, I'm intuitive. So I can feel kind of what it feels like to be there with her, especially after I've been exposed to her. I'm like, okay, I get it. You know, so I'm going to let Ametika address that one. And I'm going to skip over to my little girl, Nassim. Ametika.
Yes. So we're there for the whole show. basically we're
it's an hour long.
I believe
more than that.
we're trying to get it down to around an hour and a half or so. Yeah.
Yes. Ooh. So sometimes, and I think that that's the beauty of it. Sometimes there's two of wonderful castmates doing something together, and the rest of us, we're still engaging in other ways, which just allows us to become this kind of like background characters that they need. So it's another character, another part of the experience, right? Mm-hmm. So it is this experience, and it kind of resembles what Savannah was saying. Just from the get-go, from the callback, we knew that it was going to be this collaboration. And even if I don't see this as you're the main person here, I feel like we're always
the main person.
We're always June, or mm-hmm. always Adrian, and always all these wonderful women that we're here for to honor. So even if we're right in the corner just singing around, we're singing around, but we're experiencing that and in character, which is just again another layer of this experience, immersive experience that we have.
Well, Nassim, when you were with these other, your other luminaries, your other looms, do you lose yourself? And I know you said, I know, again, talking about the intimacy of the theater, does the audience get to participate at all? And when you are expressing June Jordan, do you send her into the audience? Do you feel like you can send her spirit there to help the audience understand what all of you are trying to say about her?
I really hope I am. That's really for the audience to decide. I'm mm-hmm. trying my best. I'm feeling her in every word, especially the poems and the songs. I really do hope the audience is feeling her as well. And the audience does participate quite a bit, particularly in the writing segments. I don't know if anyone told you about that, but there's a few writing portions throughout the show where we encourage the audience to listen closely to a poem we're about to present them and write something, a line from it, see if it stirs anything within them and to respond to it. And if they are open to it, if a couple of people could share, we're writing with them too. We go into the audience and we make sure we encourage them because we're doing the same thing. We're writing along with them and we'll share if anyone else feels hesitant to do so. And we give them the space to read what they wanted to express and we bring their words together. And at the end of the shows, once we are officially open, we will be inviting the folks, the audience members, up into the cafe at the fountain to share anything. If they didn't read it during the show, they can go up to the cafe and we'll have kind of a live poetry session.
Wow. I just saw that scene from the Malcolm X movie when they said, I am Malcolm X. I believe everybody saying, I am June Jordan. I am June Jordan. Remember they showed the scene where all the kids said, I am Malcolm. I am, like, I see all the people. I am June Jordan. I am June Jordan. So back to Janet. Janet, what has been your the most enlightening part of doing this production for you? Like, what has touched you the deepest?
Well, aside from making the connections that I have with this cast and my own similarities or my own journey that I feel like I may have shared bits with. But also, I was frankly a little terrified of poetry before.
Really?
Yes. I did not consider myself a poetry person.
Why?
Give me a story, give me a script from A, B, C, D, and let me follow that, and I will tell the story. But as far as poetry, it felt so abstract. It felt so ephemeral. And to be able to now delve a little bit more into it, and so it's been some challenging moments of like trying to learn lines because it was different than what I was used to.
Yeah, so that's
letting myself break out of my comfort zone, letting, you know, kind of forcing myself to jump into this thing that says like, yeah, you know what, you might be doing this here and this here and this, and it may not make sense between the two, but overall it will. And that's why, in some ways, Raymond doesn't even call this a play. He wants to emphasize that this is the experience.
It is.
It is different than your traditional play.
That's right.
So that's right. I have been trying to focus more on participating in this experience, and which is different for me. So I'm at my age too. I'm also like, hey, doing something different, learning something new. I'm all for it.
I like that they don't care. Who cares? This is what I like about the things that are budding underneath the society. There's a whole nother little thing that's budding underneath. Is that nobody cares about your money, your cars, your houses, your culture, your race. Who cares? The whole point is that you are all together experiencing June Jordan, bringing her through your white skin, your face, your America, your Mex. All of you are being able to express yourself through your own filter and still become June Jordan. So Savannah, when you're becoming June Jordan, is there any particularly part of her that you are identifying with, or you're just identifying with her entire experience?
Oh man. So I have the great honor of doing a scene with America as Adrian, and I get to play June. And in this scene, it's about the opera that June was the librettist for. And yes, she wrote an opera.
Really? I mean,
this woman was a jack of all trades. She was incredible. She always considered herself a poet first and foremost. But I think what's so special about that scene is that she worked with Peter Sellers and John Adams, right? Oh. Yeah. And they, at the time, they were considered, you know, huge in their field of opera and musical theater and the works that they were doing. And June wrote an opera with them. And when her opera came out, she was blasted for it being too political. And she really was ahead of her time because she was just writing stories about what people of color experience. And your life is a political act when you're a person of color, when you're a minority, when you're a woman. So unfortunately, those are going to be conversations and things that you talk about. Ceiling Sky was about the Northridge earthquake.
Oh, wow.
That happened. I was looking at the ceiling and then I saw a sky was a quote from a survivor. But what I, you know, that's all a little bit of background, but what I feel that most deeply connected to is that in the song that I get to sing with America, it's ultimately a love song, but when I talked to Raymond, to our director, when I say as June, the meaning of the chains that choke my heart, when I say certain things, it's really about the lack of validation and acknowledgement that she's experienced in her life. That no matter how hard she works, no matter what she was doing with her creativity and how powerful it was so ahead of its time that she wasn't acknowledged and validated for it. And I, as an artist, feel that so deeply, to sometimes feel like I'm screaming into a void and feel like no matter how hard I work, no matter what I do with my art and my creativity, that it's not good enough, that it won't be seen, it won't be valued or heard. And so really that was not a hard stretch for me to connect with. And it is really moving and it is painful, and connecting with that pain that she experienced. It is the moment of deepest personal pain, in the play that we get to with her, even though so much of her life she's had so much pain happening and expressing it. In that moment that I get to play, that's a really, that's a deep and easy part for me to connect to.
Mm. And you know what, but this is, like I said, this is what kind of makes me teary eyed is because we as a world, we're behind, we're slow. People are born ahead of themselves. Now, if she had been born now, nobody would really care that much, but here she is coming up 30 years, and here we go. Oh, mankind, they got to kind of travel along until they understand this and they understand that. And in science, we got to experiment this and experiment that. And then you have people dying in the name of what they believe in, you know, living and breathing what they believe in, for us to have to wait, what, 30, 40, 50 years later for the woman's voice to be heard. That pisses me off. I'm serious. I get upset about that. Like, oh, we have to die first before people can hear our voice, or we have to get old and crumble up. You know, to bring her back up or dust her off. Like, look, she was ahead of herself. So America, how do you feel about that? You said that you could speak on behalf of your culture. You can speak on behalf of your identity and what you identify with. How do you feel about being your culture, being one of the people ahead of herself? You get it. Ahead of yourself. And if your voice is going to be heard by your own people, some of her own people didn't hear. You know, some people didn't get it. How do you feel about that?
I think
America, will you hold that thought? Will you hold that thought? Just because I know we have to wrap up. So I just want to let you know, America, for your thoughts.
Oh, sure. Yes, I'll be quick. I think I keep my culture every time, and this is who I am. And, you know, this is where I bring my family and my ancestors. And I'm the first woman who can make a choice in my family.
See?
So,
told you.
So here I am. And I can make a choice, and I can make decisions, and I can speak up. And that's a blessing in disguise. And the way that I use that is it's on stage and is with my art. And I don't think it's a pressure. I think it's seen in a way of, in this political climate, is just what it needs to happen.
Yes, it does.
And I hope that my community also shows up. And that people can relate to that, and we can just, if they need to mourn, they need to grieve, they need just a bit of a joy and a laugh, they can have that as well.
Oh, wow. So Savannah's right, we do have to wrap it up, but we started a little late, so I'm giving just a little bit of that, the little thing that we had to deal with. And I want to ask each of you, before we go, what are your social media tags? Where can we find out more about June Jordan for the people that don't know of her? And I want to know, if each one of you had one word to say about June Jordan, what would it be?
Janet Song LA is my Instagram handle, and fountaintheater.com will get you to information about our show.
Okay.
And my word for June is for me personally, inspiring.
Wow. Okay, Savannah.
So my Instagram handle is Savannah Schoeniker. My last name, Schoeniker. It's a long one.
I love it.
When I think of June Jordan, I think of a Renaissance woman.
Okay.
Rather than saying jack of all trades, I mean, she really was ahead of her time. She was bolstering the world in ways that we needed and we didn't know we needed.
Wow. Okay, Naseem.
My social media is Nazgul, only on Instagram. And my word for June would be teacher, really, because I've just felt like a student this whole time of hers, and I've learned so much.
And America.
Yeah, so my social media is at Ame Covarrubias. I know, another long
I love it. Yeah.
And my word for her will be love.
Oh, wow. Okay, so now all of you have it. You're going to take your booties over to the Fountain Theater. You may see me over there. If I could, I've got to get the time to get over there. I've got a lot of busy schedule right now, but you may see me over there, but go to the Fountain Theater. The show production starts tonight. Oh, it starts tomorrow night. When does it start?
We have our final tonight. And yes. Official, we have our final preview tonight, and official opening is tomorrow.
Okay, tomorrow is official. Yes. So the Fountain Theater.
And we run all the way through March, too. We run all the way through March.
So it's not March 8th. It's all the way through March.
March 29th.
That's a good solid run. Y'all going to be, you're going to be Jim Jordan by the time you, Savannah, you might be black by the time you. I don't think you'd be a white woman. That's not that for sure. After all of that. Don't forget about me. My IG handle is Osiris_Moonier_the painter. You can find me anywhere, Snapchat, all of them, you know, TikTok, all of the social media channels. So don't forget about that. I cannot do this without having guests like you. I can't do it by myself. I cannot. I need your support. So please support us. Also, shout out to Sam Hassan. Woo! Who loves, I love this man. He makes it possible for me to shine every week. Rain or shine, whether it's bad weather outside, he still makes sure that our show gets to the audience, a global audience out there, as well as anyone here locally. And we want to say that. I want you to always remember June Jordan. I want you to go and look up June Jordan if you have not heard of her. I want you to look for each one of these women because they represent her, a certain aspect of her person, her embodiment. So look them up as well. And anything else you guys want to say out there to the people that are upcoming poets? Mm-hmm. Poets, writers, spoken word artists, they all are this, you know, have something to say.
All you need to do is speak your truth and you're a poet. Maximum impact, minimal number of words is what June says.
Speak it out loud. Let it be heard.
Mm-hmm. And now find your beloved community.
Let go and flow. We're all poets already.
That's right. That's right. Just let it flow, like America said. Let it flow. Okay, so ladies, it has been a wonderful experience. I can't thank you enough. I love beautiful women. I love women that can express themselves. I particularly care for women that can get along with other women because so many of us are pitted against each other for beauty, for whatever our differences may be. And I think we should find the make the differences, the similarities, because we are, we all go through things, whether we express them or not. Everybody has a story to tell. And thank you, Nassim. Is it Etmad?
Etmad.
I wasn't sure if the E would be silent. So it's Etmad. Thank you for correcting that. America, Carabobias. Janet Song, my lady, and Savannah Shunaker. I love all of you, and I'm so proud that you were chosen and selected to do a piece like this. It is very dear to my heart. After I found out what was going on, I'm like, oh my gosh, this is me, you know. I'm like, you know, not so, you know, certain parts of her life, I have those experiences. I've had those things happen to me, and I'm sure all of us have to a certain degree. So I will bid you adieu for now, and I'll see you in production. Yes. And you have a wonderful time, and you are June Jordan.
Thank you so much,
Osiris.
Thank you
for having us.
Bye.
I see you there.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to The Osiris Moonier Show, only on LA Talk Radio.